Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
I'm going to share two passages, one that is which is very, very familiar to us, and especially if you've been in the prayer meeting for a while, it's something that we talk about, it's something that we pray, and I want to talk about what happens after this specific subject. So James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, very familiar passage, James chapter 4, verse 7. They're looking for it. It's okay. I know it by heart. It says this. It says, so do you. Resist the devil. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is a great, wonderful passage. How about we read this together? It's short enough. Ready? One, two, three. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So this is a very important principle when it comes to prayer and when it comes to spiritual warfare. If you're new to the Lord, one of the things that, and we have over the last couple of weeks, we've even talked about this. We had a man of God here who Bishop Peter actually talked about this so powerfully. He said, listen, you don't have to fight the devil. You just have to resist the devil. Actually, you don't have to win everything. You just have to resist him, and that's how you win, right? Resist the devil, and then he has to run. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So that's a very biblical principle. We're not going to talk about that necessarily tonight, though if you're here tonight, we will be praying, and maybe you are in a difficult situation. The key is to stand firm and to push back against him and not give up your ground. Sometimes when you're under pressure, you're under stress, you're under attack, you can't imagine moving forward. Sometimes you look at your life and you know that God has so much more for you, but it's hard to find the grace, the strength to move forward, to advance, to take ground, to inhabit all that God has for you. But before there's advancing, there must be resisting. We have to resist the devil, and then he flees. But here's what's interesting about this. When you resist him, and then he flees, that means that then there's nothing back there. I want to have, just for this, Pastor, let the pastors come up here for a second. I'm using them as an object lesson. Pastor Dave, Pastor Jake, Pastor, can we give these guys a hand? They're wonderful, our pastors here. So let's just, for the sake of illustration, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Okay, Pastor Dave, you're the devil, okay? All right, so you face here. You guys are his evil minions, so stand here. Okay, so you guys face me, okay? So turn around, face this way. Okay, you can spread out. You can look tough, okay? Not in a line. You don't got to say in a line. Okay, so here's what happens. So the principle of resisting, so you got the enemy, and then you have the dark forces and all of the, you know, things behind him, okay? As you can imagine. So when you resist the devil and you resist him in whatever situation you're facing, he then has to leave. So let's actually come on this side of the stage for the sake of the example. Let's come over here, all the way over here. Okay, so we're right here. All right, so now, when I resist him in the name of Jesus, I resist you, devil. Okay, so imagine you flee. So just go over here for a second. Run over this way. Bye-bye. Okay, now, what's in front of me? Nothing is correct. But more importantly, there's space. Okay, come on back. So, when you're under attack, many times, especially when you're under attack, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to move. Showing of hands, how many of you have ever felt surrounded and pinned down? You said, I can't, if I go to the left, so even maybe another example is you're here and then you guys kind of surround me. Sometimes when you're fighting, say here, Pastor, sometimes when you're fighting the enemy, this is how you feel. It's you look to the left and he's there. You look in front of you, he's there. You look behind you, he's there. Okay? And you look to the right and he's there. And you're like, I don't know what to do. So what happens again? You resist him. And he has to flee, so you move. Now, as they move, now what do you have again? You have space. Can we say space? Space. There is room. There is an abundant way to go. So now that they're out of the way, now I can actually move into this part of the stage now that they're out of the way. Okay, give them a hand. They're going to take a seat. Thanks, you guys. Great. So I think a lot of times in spiritual warfare, and a lot of times even in life, maybe it's not always the devil, but maybe it's difficulty, challenge, and we pray, and whatever has been bothering us, burdening us, defeating us, when it gets out of the way, we're comfortable and we're happy that we're not under attack anymore. When I believe, according to the Word of God, and I'm going to share in a minute, that God is not satisfied with us no longer being under attack, but He wants us to be able to, now that there is space, He wants us to be able to advance and inhabit everything that's in front of us. Look at this verse in 1 Samuel. This is David. He says this in, 2 Samuel chapter 22. This is, he says, he reached down from on high. This is a psalm that's in Samuel. He said, he reached down on high. He took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy. Resist the devil and he has to flee. And by the way, look up here. When you resist the devil's only fleeing from you because of Jesus. Only Jesus. Jesus has the authority. Now, he's given us authority, but we don't stand on our own authority. Actually, you go to the New Testament, and there were these seven sons of Sceva, and they tried to resist the enemy on their own authority, and they got a whooping. Okay. Whooping. That's my South Carolina coming out on here. Lived down there for a couple. They were defeated. So, but look at this. It says, God rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. If you're here and you feel that your enemies are too strong for you and the battle you're facing is too strong for you, good news, there's a God who's stronger than your enemies. Okay, so verse 19. They confronted me in the day of my disaster. So you know, it's interesting. It's saying that he was already having a tough time. He was already in a tough struggle, and then the enemy came in. It's going from bad to worse. That can happen sometimes. When you didn't think it could get any more difficult, even sometimes circumstances can become incredibly challenging, and then the devil comes in. Many times, for example, in marriage, since we were talking about that earlier, it may not be that the devil is even within 10 miles of your marriage. But when you go through a difficulty and that difficulty stays unresolved, it opens a door for the enemy. And now what was already a bad day, a day of disaster, then the devil confronts you. Your enemy confronts you. If you battle this is very common with those who battle a substance abuse, maybe drugs or alcohol or what it was, a different type of addiction. Many times it's not the enemy who's tempting you, it's your own sinful desires, as the Bible says. But in that day of disaster, then the enemy jumps in and he takes something from bad to worse. And so this is kind of what David is saying, is that in my day of disaster, it was already bad, then they confronted me. But the Lord was my support. He brought me, look at this, out into a spacious place. Can we say spacious place? He brought me into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. So back to the object lesson. This is a verse in the Old Testament, but the New Testament reality. When we resist the enemy, the devil flees, and we need to take advantage of the victory. And God doesn't want us to stay still and be happy that we're no longer struggling. When he releases you from the struggle, he releases you so you can advance. He releases you so you can run. He releases you so you can inhabit more ground. Brothers and sisters, one of the things that was burdening me over the last, last few years is that pastors and ministers are under attack in America. My dear brothers who I love dearly, and spiritual leaders in the church, and people in the ministry, and even Christians. Many, many Christians, many churches. Many churches and Christians and even Christian leaders are satisfied with just not being under attack. And they can feel that, you know what? I've inherited the promise as long as I'm not under attack. And the moment the devil's gone, the moment the temptation's gone, the moment the struggle is gone, the moment the pressure and the stress and the difficulty is gone, oh, now I'm good, I'm fine. And many times there can be this perspective that the highest form of Christianity is just being at peace. But Jesus Christ came to give us peace. Yes, if you believe that, say amen. He came to give us peace, but he also said he also came to bring us into a spacious place. And Jesus also came because he said, listen, I defeated death and the grave and the sin, not just so you can be comfortable, but he gave a commission. He said, go therefore into all of the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He gave a commission. And he gave a picture of it is important and it is time to advance. It is time to inhabit. I wonder today if you're here and you've become satisfied with just not being under attack. Now, praise God. I don't know. It's much better not to be under attack, okay? It's a much better place to be. But Jesus Christ didn't shed his precious blood just so we can be comfortable in our freedom. Now, praise God for freedom. Praise God for deliverance. Praise God that the enemy, when we resist him, he has to flee. But there's actually a picture in the Old Testament. Many, many times when God would rout the enemy from the nation of Israel and God would defeat the nation of Israel, God's people, he would defeat the enemy. You know what God instructed the Israelites to do? He said, they weren't satisfied when the enemy was running away. You know what they did? They chased after them. And when the enemy was running, many times in the Bible, it says they were chasing after the enemy and they were defeating them along the way because now they weren't on the defense. Now they were on the offense. And now they went and they said, I'm not satisfied that the enemy has stopped attacking me. I'm going to go and I'm going to advance and I'm going to take and I'm going to inhabit and I'm going to inherit everything that God has. Because you know what? The day of evil will come again. The day of trouble will come again. And I'm going to have to fight and I'm going to resist. But oh, until the devil comes or that trouble or difficulty, I'm going to run and I'm going to run as hard and as fast as I can to take hold of everything that God has for me. So, three things, and we're going to pray. We need to resist. We need to resist the enemy. But because God wants to bring us into a spacious place, can you put that verse back up again? Because God wants to bring us into a place of abundance, a spacious place, we need to take and inhabit and run and take and make ground in God. Brothers and sisters, the Christian life is full of seasons. There are seasons of war. There are seasons of peace. There are seasons of resisting, but then there are seasons of running. There are seasons when we have to take advantage of the moment of victory. We need to take advantage of the victory. We need to be able to say, God, I'm not satisfied with just not being under attack, but God, I want to inhabit everything that you have. Back to the story I was talking about earlier, is something kind of really discourages me as a pastor and even as a Christian, because many times people kind of have a mentality, what we call a circle the wagons mentality. Okay, the idea of, well, let's just hold out and at least let's be happy with what we've got in God. Let's not take risks for God. Let's not step out, because you know what? I'm gonna go through a tough time again in the future, and I got to get ready. I'm just gonna stay here. And I'm going to circle the wagons in case the attack comes. By the way, you guys, the circle the wagons illustration, you know, the idea that, you guys know what circle the wagons means, okay? I was talking about Oregon Trail. I really talk about that a lot. Some of you know what that is. It's a video game we played as kids. And you would go from St. Louis, and during the time of the expansion, you would take a wagon and you would go across the United States. And the idea was, and even during the pioneering days, is that when the Indians were coming, the people would circle the wagons so that the enemy couldn't get in, and they would put all the people and the women and the children inside, and the wagons were kind of a perimeter. So that's the idea of, well, you know what, let's just maintain our defenses, let's not advance. And I believe that the Lord tonight wants to do two things. One, we're going to pray for those who need to stand firm and are under attack, and they need to resist. But then we're also going to pray for those who are in a season where they have resisted and there's space in front of them for courage to run and for courage to inhabit the space that is in front of us. God has brought us into a spacious place. Can we say spacious place? Spacious. There's room. When God creates room, He wants us to run. He wants us to go. He wants us to move. He wants us to inhabit what is ahead of us. So what does that look like? Well, in one example, and then we're going to pray, it might be that you have resisted the enemy. And now, because you've resisted the enemy, he's fled, he's gone, and you feel a spacious place. Can I encourage you what you should do? You should begin to, for example, if you have family members that don't know Jesus Christ, it's one of the best times to evangelize to them and to go out of your way is to say, listen, I was just under attack, and I tell you what my Jesus did for me? And you begin to testify what the Lord has done. And sometimes, have you ever gotten angry at the devil? Just a showing of hands, some of you, okay, I know I have. And sometimes when I get so angry at him, but when I resist him and he's gone, now it's like, okay, now you were coming after my stuff, now I'm going to go after your stuff, okay? You were messing with my friends, now I'm going to go after all of these people that belong to you, and I'm going to believe from God that they're going to be set free. One man of God who used to lead our prayer ministry, he used to say, God, would you plunder hell to populate heaven? Meaning we're going to go after the things of the enemy. And God, would you go in and would you plunder everything that belongs to the devil? And would you then give it and assign it to God and populate heaven? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Just close your eyes for a moment. If you're here tonight and you would say, for the first group, you would say, you know what, I want to go into a spacious place, but you know, I need strength to resist the devil. And this could be for those who've been serving the Lord for a long time. Sometimes you can serve the Lord for 40 years and you find yourself facing a new obstacle that you've never seen before, a new kind of attack from the enemy that might be unique and have something different on it. And you say, I need new grace and new strength to resist him so that he has to flee. You maybe have just started serving Jesus and the same thing. You said, now, oh, I understand now. I need to stand strong and resist the enemy and he will flee from me. If that's you tonight, we want to pray with you. Just raise your hand in the presence of the Lord. You need to resist the enemy so he flees. Hands are going up all over the place. Hands are going up all over the place. All over the place. Okay. If you lifted your hand, I want you to lift it nice and high. We're going to turn and we're going to pray with you, okay? If you lift your hand now, church family, open your eyes. I want you to turn to our brothers and sisters who have their hands lifted. Someone's going to come and lay a hand on your shoulder. Once they, come on, turn to our brothers and sisters. We're going to put a hand upon their shoulder. Once they have a hand on your shoulder, you can put your hand down so that we know everyone's been reached. Everyone, we want everyone to be praying for. Once someone has a hand on your shoulder, you can put your hand down so that we know you've been reached. We have a couple in the back here. Some of our ushers can reach them. We have a brother here. If no one's praying with you, yeah, keep your hand up. We have some in the back here. Okay, now here's what we're going to do. Brothers and sisters, I want us to pray out loud. We want to pray, God, give them the courage to resist the enemy. Give them the strength to resist the enemy. If you raise your hand, I want you to be active also. And I want you to say, God, give me the grace, give me the strength to resist the enemy tonight. The strength to resist him, not to fear him, not to be timid, but to resist, to stand firm and to resist. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Stand with them tonight to resist the enemy. To resist him. Resist him in Jesus' name. Pray that they would not give up. Pray that God would give them courage and strength tonight. Fresh courage and strength to resist the enemy. Resist the enemy.